Okay, we're starting here from the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Pei Amud Aleph. Seder Brachot. What does the Shmoneh Esrei look like on Rosh Hashanah? Omer, Avot, Ugvorot, Ukudushat Hashem. You have the basic structure of Shmoneh Esrei that you always have, which are the first three Brachot and the last three Brachot. Here the first three Brachot, Avot, Magen Abraham, Ugvorot, Mechaye Meitim, Ukudushat Hashem. Here it's Hamelech HaKadosh. Vikolel Malchiot Imahen. And you include Malchiot together with the bracha of Kedushat Hashem. Ve'eno Tokea. And then you don't blow the shofar. Kedushat Hayom. Then you have a separate bracha for Kedushat Hayom, the day of Rosh Hashanah itself. Vitokea. And then you blow the shofar. Zichronot. Then Zichronot and you blow the shofar. Shofarot. Vitokea. And then you have the bracha of shofarot, and you blow the shofar. Ve'omer. And then you close with the standard closure of Veni Shmoneh Esrei, which is avoda, ritzei, hoda'a, tov shimcha, nechaneh le'odot, u'birkat kohanim, which is a mevarech et amo Yisrael b'shalom. So here's the structure of Shmoneh Esrei, according to Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, first of all, you have malchiot, zichronot, and shofarot that are added in. But Malchiot is joined together with the bracha of Amelech HaKadosh. So the three extra brachot that you have in the middle are Kedushat HaYom, which would be, instead of Melech HaKol Aretz, Mikadesh Yisrael VeYom HaZikaron, you would just have Mikadesh Yisrael VeYom HaZikaron. Then you would have the Zocher HaBrit, which is the Zichronot. And then you would have Shofarot, which is Shomei HaKol Tshuvat Amo, Yisrael Berachamim. So here you have the layout of Shmoneh Esrei, nine brachot, and the three middle brachot. The main thing to keep in mind here is that he puts Malchiot together with Kedushat Hashem, with Hamelech HaKadosh. Amar lo b'yur kiva, imenu tokea, the Malchiot, lamu hu mazkir. If you're not going to blow the shofar because of the addition of the Malchiot, then why mention them at all? Ella, this is the layout of Shmoneh Esrei. Omer, avot, ugvorot, Kedushat Hashem. That's the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, the classic standard beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. But then, Bekolel Malchiot im Kedushat Hayom. And then you join Malchiot together with Kedushat Hayom. Those two are joined together. Vitokeya. And then you blow the shofar, which is our practice. Melech HaKol Aretz Mikadesh Yisrael VeYom HaZikaron. Zichronot Vitokeya. Then you say Zichronot and blow the shofar. Shofarot Vitokeya. Vomer. And then you close with Avoda VeHoda'a UBirkat Kohanim. So here you have two opinions in the Mishnah. Their main argument is about where Malchiot is found. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Malchiot is found as part of Kedushat Hashem, Melech HaKadosh. Whereas Rabbi Akiva believes that Malchiot goes together with Kedushat HaYom. It goes together with the Mikadesh Yisrael, VeYom HaZikaron. That's where it's put together. Obviously, there are nine brachot here, and the problem is that you have 10 topics. So the question is, where do you double up? You have 10 topics because you have Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, and you have Kedushat Hayom. So those are four issues that you want to get together with nine brachot. So you have to double up somewhere. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says Malchiot go together with Kedushat Hashem. Rabbi Akiva says that Malchiot go together with Kedushat Hayom. Yeah, the Mi'ikar Din, there's no question that Mi'ikar Din, you're supposed to blow the shofar in the private Shmoneh Esrei. The reason that we blow it in Chazarat HaShatz was a later development of the problem of keeping everybody at the same pace. It's very difficult to be on pace. You know, there are years, I remember, Eidavn in place of Zayn Nusach Svard, and I heard all three sets of shofarot still while I was in Malchiot. If everybody's on a different pace, it's very difficult. If you do it in Chazarat HaShatz, it gives you more room, more flexibility to deal with it. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, im eino tokea, the Malchiot, lamuhu mazkir. Why do you mention him? Where it says, lamuhu mazkir, Rachmana Amar Idgar. The Torah says to mention him. Ella, lama, eser. Why are there 10? Lema tesha. Let's say 9. So the one says, the whole vidi ishtane, ishtane. Since it's changed already, it's changed. This piece of Gemara makes a lot of assumptions. Number one, that you know that you're supposed to say, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. What's the source for that? Well, that's an upcoming Braita, which will tell us that you say, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Now, the Gemara is interesting because it says, Rachmana Idkar. The Torah tells you to say Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, which would imply that it's deoraita, the fact that we say Malchiot, Shofarot, and Zichronot, which is interesting. Rashi mentions this in Chumash as well in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah numerous times, says that the mentioning of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot is deoraita. The Ramban both in the Torah and here in the Gemara, takes Rashi to task over that, that it doesn't make any sense. It's an asmachto, it's not really a din d'oraita, and we're going to see a Gemara coming up in a day or two that basically says that straight out, that the brachot are midrabanan and not midoraita. But we'll leave that aside, that's the Gemara's assumption right now. Number two assumption is that you know that what it means to say machiot, zichronot, and shofarot. Right? The Mishnah just says it doesn't tell you what that means. So here's the second part of that, which is the assumption that you know that you're supposed to say 10 psukim for these, which we'll get to in the upcoming Mishnayot. Now, that's why the Gemara always assumes that you know all the Mishnayot, and the upcoming Mishnayot will tell us that, that there are 10 psukim that are associated with each one of these. So Rabbi Kiva's question, at least the way the Gemara has reformulated it, is why do you have to say 10 psukim by Malchiot? If you're not going to blow the shofar by it, then why bother to get all the 10 psukim in it, put in 9? Why are you going out of your way? And we'll see in a second why he says that with regards to Malchiot, because Malchiot, as opposed to the others, we do not have an easy time finding psukim to fill in for, and we'll see why in the remainder of today's daf. So he says, just do 9. And once you've changed it, meaning that you're not blowing the shofar it, also just say 9 psukim, don't say 10 psukim. So that's Rabbi Kiva's question. Now, Tanu Rabbanan. Minayin shomrim avot. So now he goes through. How do we know what's the structure of Shmoneh Esrei? How do you know that you say avot? So the Gemara does it based on the Mizmor Tehillim Chavtet, which is Havlo Hashem b'nei elim. So Havlo Hashem means give to Hashem, grant to Hashem b'nei elim. Elim is, we saw earlier in the Masechta also from the Yerach Eitanim, that the word elim means the takife, the strong ones, the rocks, the solid ones, which are the avot. So Avol Hashem, present Hashem with the Avot. Minayin Shomrim Givurot. How do we know that after that we say Givurot, and Givurot are associated with the asking for rain, and the Givurat Hashem, which we'll get to in Masechet Tanit, explaining what's the connection between Givurot and the Gishamim. Shinemar, Avol Hashem, Kavod Va'oz. You should grant to Hashem Kavod Va'oz, Oz, the strength and the honor of Hashem. Minayin Shomrim Kedushot. How do you know that the next bracha is Kedusha? Shinemar, Avol Hashem, Kivod Shemo. So you should give to the honor of Hashem's name, Behadrat Kodesh, in His holy dwelling. So how do we know about the Ibrachot that are associated with the Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tichtiv, because the Pasuk says in Emor, Shabbaton Zichron Shua Mikra Kodesh. So this is the Pasuk describing Rosh Hashanah. As I mentioned numerous times, Rosh Hashanah in the Torah is completely ambiguous. There's very little given to us in terms of information about Rosh Hashanah. One of the few things that we get is that it's a Zichron Shua. That's the day of Rosh Hashanah. So here it says it's a Shabbaton. Zichron Shua, Mikra Kodesh. So now he breaks it down. Shabbaton teaches you Zeh Kedushat Hayom. That you have to say Kedushat Hayom. Zichron, Elu Zichronot. Shua, Elu shofarot, mikra kodesh, kadsheyu be'asiyat milacha. Then you should sanctify it by desisting from doing work. So that's how he breaks the pasuk down.
No mention of
Malchiot, very good. But we have Shabbaton being the Kedushat Hayom, Zichron being the Zichronot, Shua being the shofarot, and mikra kodesh being the Iser of asiyat milacha. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, you basically took the tafel and left the ikar behind, because why don't you say that Shabbaton is referring to what the word should mean, which means desist from work? Obviously, the Isur Malacha is the key aspect of what's been written in this pasuk, and why don't you say that first instead of last? And that's what Rabbi Yehuda does. Shabbat patach hakatuv tchila, because that's what the pasuk opened with. Ella, Shabbaton, kadsheyu ba'asiyat milacha. Shabbaton refers to the desisting from Malacha. Zichron elu zichronot. Trua elu shofarot, mikra kodesh, zu kedushat hayom. So he doesn't, in terms of substance, he doesn't change anything because he has the same component parts as Rabbi Eliezer. The only thing that is different, Rabbi Kiva, is that he says that the order is different, that the asiyat malacha is in the beginning and the kedushat hayom in the end. Minayin shomri malchiot. What's clear that's left out of both of these is malchiot. Where do we get malchiot from? Tanya Rabbi Omer ani Hashem Elokeichem. It says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and immediately afterwards it says, V'chodesh Shvi, Zu Malchut. So if you look in Parshat Emor, after it talks about the Sfirat Omer and Shavuot, the Korbanot that are brought on Shavuot, over there is a little piece about Matanot Evyonim. Matanot Evyonim that you have to give, the Leket, Shechah, Peah, that are mentioned there. There's two psukim, And then the next pasuk in Emor begins, "Bechodesh Eshvi'i be'achad lechodesh," which is referring to Rosh Hashanah. The closing of those psukim, the last line, or pasuk, or words of those psukim referring to Matnot and Inim says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem." And then it opens, "Ubechodesh Eshvi'i." In the seventh month, on the first day, is Rosh Hashanah. What's the connection or the juxtaposition of the Ani Hashem Elokeichem to Ubechodesh Eshvi'i? That's what he's saying, Zumachut. It teaches you Machut HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, your God. That is Machut. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Enu Tzarich. You don't need that. Hari Omer, we learned in Parshat Balotcha, last week's Parsha, Vayulachem the Zikaron Lifnei Elokeichem. So it says that these will be a Zikaron before Hashem. She'ein Tamud Omer, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Well, if they're a Zikaron before Hashem, then why does it have to say Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Ma Tamud Omer, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Zib Bnei Av. This sets a paradigm. The Chol Machom Shneim Rabo Zichrono to you Machiyoti Mehem. Anytime you have Zikaron, associated with that Zikaron is also Malchiyot. What's interesting here, and I mentioned it at the time, that here the Gemara is learning out from the Psukim in Parshat Balotcha, which referenced the Chatzotzrot, that have to do with the trumpets and not the Shofar. And the Gemara made that distinction on a couple of daf ago that you can't learn one from the other because that's Chatzotzrot, this is Shofar, they're totally separate. Yet here we see them already mixing them together and saying that the Zikaron, that the Zichron that is mentioned by Chatzotzrot can be used as a paradigm to set up Zikaron and Malchiyot by Shofar. And the Gemara is much more fluid in bringing over the Dinim from Chatzotzrot over to Shofar. And there's even a more extensive, in the Midrashim, there's more extensive limud from the Psukim in Balotcha, which basically learn out Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot from the Psukim in Balotcha. So we have a tension there between yes and no learning out of the Chatzotzrot, whether we can or cannot learn out of the Chatzotzrot. Here, Gemara seems to be pushing in the direction of learning out of the Chatzotzrot to the Shofar. Now the Gemara asks, Veichan Omra the Kedushat Hayom. Where does the Kedushat Hayom fit in this puzzle? So Tanya, Rabbi Omer im Malchiyot Omra. Rabbi says you say it together with the Malchiyot. Ma Matzino b'chol makom b'rivit, avkan b'rivit. Just like we find everywhere else, Kedushat Hayom is always the fourth bracha, meaning on Shabbat and on Yom Tov, you have the three opening brachot, and Kedushat Hayom is the middle bracha, because Yom Tov and Shabbat have seven brachot in their Shemoneh Esrei. The middle one, the fourth one, is Kedushat Hayom. So Rabbi is saying something similar to Rabbi Akiva for a different reason, but he's saying that Kedushat Hayom goes together with Malchiyot. Shimon Gamliel Omer, im zichronot omra. You say it together with zichronot. This is the third opinion about this setup of Shemoneh Esrei, which is, mem matzino b'chol makom be'emtza. It's like we find everywhere else. By Shabbat and Yom Tov, it's the middle bracha of the seven. Avkan be'emtza. So two here in the middle. What's the middle bracha? Zichronot is the middle bracha. Now, you have here three different opinions about the setup of Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that Malchiyot goes together with Kedushat Hashem. Then you have Kedushat Hayom separate, standalone. Then you have Zichronot and Shofarot. You have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi, who seems to agree with that, that says that Kedushat Hashem is by itself. Malchiyot and Kedushat Hayom go together. And then you have Zichronot and Shofarot. And now you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that you have Kedushat Hashem, Malchiyot, then Zichronot together with Kedushat Hayom, and then you have Shofarot. The three different opinions about the setup of the Shemoneh Esrei. Shukichu Beitin et Hashana Be'usha. When the Beitin was established, Rosh Hashanah and Usha, Yerad Yerba Yochanan ben Broka Lifnei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He went down, down meaning that he was the Chazan, as Rashi points out. So Gemara in Brachot says, Mimamakim Kratich Hashem, that we always call out from the depths. So the Chazan was placed down or in the pit, which they have in some shuls, and in the older shuls you can see that, that there are stairs or a descent down to the teva, or the place where the chazan stands, so that's easier to raid bifnei ha-teva, in order to figuratively call out to Hashem from the depths. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka goes to be the chazan. Basa k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And he set up the brachot like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah, which means that he said, Malchiyu together with Kedushat Hashem, and he said Kedushat Hayom by itself. You can see how fluid this is, and that how it's not completely established how the brachot are going to be on Rosh Hashanah. Today we have a clear way that we practice, but back then this is still in the process of being developed. This is in the early part of when it's being developed. So Amarlo, Rabbi Shimon, lo yinu gim kein b'yavne. He says, that's not what we did in Yavne. In the old days, that's not how we did it in Yavne. The Yom HaSheni, on the second day, which the Gemara question, what does that mean the second day? Yerad Rabbi Chanina, b'nosha Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So you have another chazan that went down. Vasaki Rabbi Akiva. And he practiced like Rabbi Akiva, which means that he put Kedushat Hayom together with Malchiyot. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kach Hayu Nogim L'Rabbi Yavne. That's how they did it in Yavne. The problem is that Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel has his own opinion, which is that Kedushat Hayom goes together with Zichronot and not with Malchiyot. If he did it like Rabbi Akiva, then he wasn't doing it like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you should do it. The member of the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva Svirle, you're implying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel subscribes to the position of Rabbi Akiva. Bahama Rabbi Akiva Malchiyot and Kedushat Hayom Amar Luhu. He said that you put Kedushat Hayom together with Malchiyot. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kedushat Hayom im Zichronot Amar Luhu. You put Kedushat Hayom together with Zichronot. Some Rabbi Zeira Lomar Shetokim the Malchiyot. Now what he said was that was right, and that was similar to Rabbi Akiva, is that they blew shofar by the Malchiyot. Remember that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when you put the Malchiyot together with Kedushat Hashem, you do not blow shofar over the Malchiyot. You only blow shofar over the Kedushat Hayom, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So what he complimented him on was that they blew shofar on Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. He didn't necessarily agree with the placement of Kedushat Hayom together with Malchiyot. That he thought should be with Zichronot. But he said, at least you got this part right, which is that you got the shofar together with the Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So now Gemara says, Yom HaSheni, Yerad Rabbi Chanina. My Sheni. What does it mean on the second day? Ilem a Yom Tov Sheni, to say it was the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Memra de Abru Ale Elul, that you said that they made Elul into a leap month, they made it a 30-day month. Vama Rabbi Chanina Bar Kehano, Mimot Ezra Ve'elech Lo Matzino Elul Mubar. From the time of Ezra and on, where we never find Elul made in 30-day month. And that's interesting, because in the Gemara previously, when we said this, the Gemara had questions about this in Sfeikot, about when the Edim come. And Tosafot over there says, what do we do with this principle of Ezra? He says, what it really means is that Mimot Ezra Ve'elech, they didn't make Elul Mu'ubar, Elul Letzorech, unless it was necessary. But that means if it was necessary, they did make it Mu'ubar. So it's interesting over here, the Gemara seems to indicate that it never happened. And then how could they ever have a Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah? So Rav Chista, my Sheni, the Yom Sheni, the Shana Abba. Doesn't mean the second day, it means the next Rosh Hashanah. The second day, meaning the next time they had Rosh Hashanah, that's what they did. Seems like a very difficult explanation of the Gemara, and it's more likely that they did have a second day of Rosh Hashanah, and you have to reconcile between that and the statement of Mimot Ezra Ve'elech, which Tosafot did earlier, which says whether it's Letzorech or Shein Letzorech. That's the question of being Ma'aber Elul. So here, just to keep in mind what we saw here, three different opinions as to the structure of Shmoneh Esrei. The question you have to ask, and it's not one that we can answer here, but I'll just at least present it to you so you can think about it when you're davening in Rosh Hashanah time. The question is, what topically belongs together? In that, if you can put Malchiyot together with Kedushat Hashem, that already implies that the theme of Kedushat Hashem and Malchiyot are not so far apart. There has to be something that is a common denominator between them. And then once you separate out Malchiyot from Kedushat Hashem, what is the difference between them that you don't put them together? The same is true with Kedushat Hayom. That Kedushat Hayom could fit together with Malchiyot already tells you that there's something connected between Kedushat Hayom and Malchiyot. Or the same is true if you put Kedushat Hayom to Zichronot, there must be a common denominator between those two items. And if you don't put them together, you have to show what's distinct between them. The fact that we're willing to move these things around shows you that there's a lot of commonality between these brachot. It's not so clear which one belongs together with which. And then when we decide where it goes, for instance, Kedushat Hayom, is it standalone or is it together with Malchiyot or Zichronot, also tells us something about the primary theme of the day. Wherever we put Kedushat Hayom, that's telling us what the main focus of the day is. Is it Zichronot? Is it Malchiyot? Is it standalone? That also has impact. The fact that we put it together with Malchiyot already implies that Malchiyot obviously is the main theme of the day, even though it's Yom HaZikaron. So all of these things are questions that one has to ask and obviously answer, bigger than we can handle today in this year, but at least it's important to know that the fact that it was moving around means that there are commonalities, and then you have to take a finer look and understand how to distinguish between them if we are going to separate them. The next thing I want to discuss is an unbelievable Balamor. The Baal HaMor in general is interesting because he's a chadshan, he's a little bit of a maverick in a sense, in the way that his perush worked. He looked at the Rif, and then he would say, listen, I don't know what the Rif's talking about. And he a lot of times deviated from the standard practice or the standard minhagim. Over here, the Baal HaMor, at the end of the Masechta, it's in two different Baal HaMors, the two last Baal HaMors in the Masechta. On the Rif, he writes interesting things. He says, first of all, I just want you to know that don't worry about the fact that minhagim changed, because I'm going to tell you, when I was a little kid, I remember that when I was a little one, that in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we used to daven 7 brachot, and then when they did Chazaret HaShatz, then they did Teisha, they did the 9 brachot. That means that in the private Shmon Esrei, nobody said Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot, they just said Mikadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron, and then only in Chazaret HaShatz did they mention Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot. Now that would be a strong support for the Minhag to only blow in Chazaret HaShatz and not to blow during the private Shmon Esrei. He says, but today, after I got older, everybody davens 9 brachot in the private Shmon Esrei and 9 brachot in the Chazaret HaShatz. He says, the minhag changed. I'm telling you, when I was younger, it was this way, and now it's the different way. That's one thing that Balamor says, which is already wild. But the more extreme thing that he says is, Vani Omer, ki mishorish halacha, ein b'Rosh Hashanah sheva brachot. In the Ikar halacha, on Rosh Hashanah, there should never be a Shmona Esrei with 7 brachot in it. What's he saying? Elah teisha hein le'olam. On Rosh Hashanah, you should always have 9 brachot. Ben b'arvit, ben b'shacharit, ben b'musaf, ben b'mincha. He thinks that every Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah should be the full 9 yards, the full 9 brachot. Meaning that you have to have everything there, machiyot, zichronot, shofarot, thematically belong on the entire Rosh Hashanah. That is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, then that's the Shmona Esrei you should say. Even though you only blow the shofar by musaf, he doesn't imply that you should blow shofar by every Shmona Esrei, only by musaf. Nevertheless, the teisha brachot belong by each Shmona Esrei, and that's the tefillat hayom. He says, I've never seen this minhag. The minhag hu b'yadenu ma'avotenu, the minhag that we have is, she'im mitfalim teisha ala b'musafim. U'gshar tefillot mitfalim sheva. He says, that's the minhag, and I'm not going to change it. But he believes fundamentally that all the Shmona Esrei during Rosh Hashanah should have 9 brachot on it. And then he talks about the blowing of the shofar, which we'll get to later, which he also has an unbelievable shita with regards to the blowing of the shofar, the tkiyot miyushav, tkiyot miumad. But that's the Balamor. The Ramban and the Milchamot Hashem, who always is taking the Balamor to task for criticizing the Rif or for going against the Minhag Goanim, is licking his chops here. And he can't wait to say something about the Balamor. And you hear his introduction, he'll say, Manavid Le Lamar, Dolo Lisrei Roke. What are we going to do for him that he doesn't wallow in his spit? Shubalach Loko Divrei Kola Goanim. Val Minhag Kol Yisrael. He wants to go against the Minhag of all the Goanim, all of Israel. Below Raya, below Smach Shoklom, without any proof, without any backing to suggest that there should be 9 brachot. And the Ramban says that there's no way. Amos Kareem, Elishat Tokim. He says the 9 brachot, Machiot Zichronot and Shofar are connected to the blowing of the Shofar. Without the blowing of the Shofar, there is no 9 brachot. And that's why we only have 9 brachot by Musaf. And nowhere else, as the Balamor agrees, you only blow Shofar by Musaf. And so the Ramban is vehement in his criticism of the Balamor, also takes on the Minhag. He says, Umash Nagum, that Minhag that the Balamor mentioned, that earlier years, they only said 7 brachot and not everything, is because people didn't know. They didn't know anything. They didn't know how to mitkavein to the 9 brachot, that they didn't know the 9 brachot. So they said 7, and then waited for Chazaret HaShatz to hear the 9 brachot, because they didn't know how to say the 9 brachot. So why do you say a private Shmona Esrei at all if everybody's going to be yotze with the shatz and the 9 brachot? And so the shatz can be misader his tefillah, so that he can organize his tefillah. Remember, they're doing a lot of this baal peh, and if he has to put it together, he says, today, where we have machzorim, and it's easier for people to follow along the tefillah, then everybody says 9 brachot in the private Shmona Esrei as well, not in the public Shmona Esrei. He says the din never changed, the minhag never changed, just has to do. The old minhag was, or the din was, everybody should say 9. Because they were unable to, they were incapable of doing that, so they did 7 in order to have the Kedushat Hayom, but then they waited and they listened to the shots for the other 9 brachot, and the minhag never changed over here. The Ramban ends off, says, I'll just read you the last line, he has a longer piece here, but he says, Lamata Shekola Poreshmi Divrayim Shel Rishonim. Anybody who leaves the words of the first ones, meaning the early ones, meaning the Rif and the Geonim, whose practice was like we do, Kiporeshmi Chayim, is as if he's leaving life. And Hashem should look in our favor and our merit, because I defended the practice of the Geonim and I defended the practice of the Rif. And so Hashem should give me merit for that. So here the Ramban takes on the Baal HaMu'ar explaining this. Now this is a controversy that's broader than Rosh Hashanah itself, brought in Rashi, Gemara and Shabbat, with regards to the Me'ina Me'ora, when you just add in things to Shmon Esrei for a special day. So we know when you have Rosh Chodesh, you add in Yalei V'Yavol, but you add it in it. Ma'ariv, Shacharit, Mincha, Musaf, or Musaf will be of Rosh Chodesh, otherwise you would add it in. But you would say Yalei V'Yavol in all these places. So the word there says that also by Taniyot, you add in Aneinu. Aneinu is the addition or the proper addition that we put into Shomei Tefillah on a fast day. The practice, or it seems to be, that the practice was that they said Aneinu in the Gonim in all the Tefillot. Aneinu and Ma'ariv, Aneinu and Shacharit, Aneinu and Mincha. Our practice is only say Aneinu at Mincha time. So we have the same problem here where you have what seems to be the day is a day of a Tanit and you should add in Aneinu, yet we only add in Aneinu at Mincha time. Similar to what the Baal HaMu'ar's claim is with regards to Rosh Hashanah. That's the theme of the day. Then all the Shmon Esrei should reflect that theme of the day. Now, by a fast day, it's a little harder because we don't fast at night. We only fast during the day, not at night. So wouldn't it be a little funny to say Aneinu at night when we're not fasting? So to that, Rav Soloveitchik in the past mentioned this, and it seems to be implied in the Shita of Rashi there, who brings the Gaonim, that it's a Yom Tanit. Just because you fast doesn't mean that that's the only part of the day that's the fast day. You have a day, a 24-hour period that's called a Yom Tanit. We happen to only fast for 12 hours of it, but there's a 24-hour day that is called Yom Tanit that has implications on the night before Shivas Arba Tammuz. When do the 3 weeks begin? Do the 3 weeks begin on the morning of Shivas Arba Tammuz or the night of Shivas Arba Tammuz? Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where trying to be makil for someone to have a wedding the night of Shivas Arba Tammuz, that's a Moshe Shabbat, Rav Soloveitchik was very against. Then he says, the Yom Tanit begins, the night of Shivas Arba Tammuz. That already takes on the trappings of the day, even though you don't fast physically until the daytime itself. So that would explain Aneinu and all the tefillot. Why don't we say Aneinu and all the tefillot? The Rishonim say over there because we're afraid that people are not going to make it through the fast. So we wait until Mincha time where you're pretty sure you're going to make it through the fast, and then we say Aneinu when you're pretty sure. Otherwise it'll be like Sheker and Tefillah, and we're very against lying in Tefillah, against saying things that are just not going to be true in Tefillah. We have that also with regards to going Lifnai Lifnim, when we go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. You only want to be truthful, you want to be honest, and the davening in Shmon Esrei is like being before Hashem. Over there, we don't mess around with things, we only want to say truth. And therefore, we wait until Mincha time. But there was a practice in the time of the Gonim to say Aneinu and all the Tefillot. And the Baal HaMu'ar is promoting a similar idea with regards to Shmon Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, that all the Shmon Esrei should reflect the nature of the day, not just the Musafim. In Shacharit, right. The fact that the Shat says it in Shacharit, it is a little bit of a pshara. We don't say it in Ma'ariv, because there's no Chazarah Shat in Ma'ariv. But the reason the Chazarah Shat says it in Shacharit is because he's representing the whole Tzibor. We assume that someone in the Tzibor is going to fast and make it through. So the Aneinu in the morning when the Chazarah Shat, which is a tefillah of all the Tzibor, someone in the Tzibor is going to fast through and it'll be truthful. But when you're dealing with each individual separately, then we don't want to take that risk. So you're right. We do that with the shats. At night, there's no Chazar HaShatz, so we don't do it. Had there been Chazar HaShatz in Ma'ariv, we would have said Aneinu in Chazar HaShatz in Ma'ariv as well. All right, the other thing I would just mention here is the blowing of the shofar together with Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, which Ramban says the two are clearly correlated. That has something to do with it. I'll just mention in passing, there's a lot more to say about this, but the shofar in general is the blowing of a sound that has no form to it. It's just a, as they call it, a kol b'emti. It's like an animalistic sound. It's just a blast that comes out. It's not like other musical instruments which you have control or you influence the sound. Here it's just the straight sound that comes out. And the way that it's described by many is based on the pasuk in the beginning of the Torah. Vayipach v'yapav nishmat chayim. That Hashem blows the life force into human beings. And over there the Targum translates it as man denafach be midilei nafach be. The one who blew into him gave him a portion of himself into the human being. The neshama that was given to the individual is a part of Hashem. And that's what's inside of us. That's our spiritual side. And then the Mefarshim explained to us that on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, that we're blowing that neshama, we're rising towards Hashem. We're blowing it back. That same neficha that was put into us on Rosh Hashanah, on the day man was created, we blow back to him. But it's a kol, it's a sound that has no form to it. But later on, as we move through the day of Rosh Hashanah, we give more form to the sound. How do we give form to the sound? Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Those are different themes that are associated with shofar, and the malchiyot, the shofar and zechonot, those psukim that we're going to learn about in a second, are what give explanation or form to the shofar. And that's why it's so important, the connection between the shofar and the Shmoneh Esrei, and why the two are interrelated. Right now, move on here into the next Mishnah. Ein pochatim mi'asara malchiyot, mi'asara zichronot, u'mi'asara shofarot. We have no less than 10 psukim with regards to malchiyot, 10 psukim with regards to zichronot, and 10 psukim with regards to shofarot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri omer, im amar gimel, gimel mikulam, yatsa. If he says three of each, then he's fine. It's not clear what he means, three of each. Here, does it mean three of each? Because there's two things he could be modifying here. One is the number, which is machiot, zichronot, and shofarot. He could say three of each. Or, he could be modifying the structure of the 10, which we'll see in a second, which is Torah, Nevi'im, Miktuvim. Is he saying three of each and saying nine in total? So Gemara will ask that. Hani asara machiot keneged mi. Why do we send 10 psukim of machiot? So Amar Rabbi Levi keneged asara hilulim shemar David b'sefer Tehilim. Keneged the 10 halalukas that David says in Sefer Tehilim. Mar says hilulim tufa avu. There are more than 10 halalukas there. That can't be the reason. Now Gemara says anak tativu halalu b'teka shofar. Those that are found in that Perek Tehilim that contains within it, halu b'teku shofar, there the word halu is mentioned 10 times. So the association with the tkiat shofar and the halu, those two together tell you that there are 10. V'yosef amar keneged aserat seret adibrot, keneged the 10 dibrot, shenem rulolo Moshe b'sinai. Rabbi Yochanan amar keneged aserat mamarot shben nivra ulam, keneged the 10 mamarot, the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. Hai nehu, where are there 10 utterances where Hashem creates the world? Mar says, Vayomer, the Breshit. So he says the word Vayomer is used in the first parak in Breshit. It says Vayomer 10 times. Mar says, that's not true. Ted Havu. They're only 9. They're not 10. So the Mar says, Breshit Nami Mamarhu. Breshit is also counted as one of the Mamarot. Dichtiv, Bidvar Hashem, Shmaim Nasu. With the word of Hashem, the world was created. Shemayim v'aretz were created. So when it says Breshit bara, that means how did he do it? He did it b'ma'amar. So there are 10 ma'amarot, 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. Here you have the basis for the 10 and the connection between aseret adibrot, aseret ma'amarot, and we know that there were aserat makot in Mitzrayim, the Sfat Emet, and his Perush and Rosh Hashanah mentions these as being the structure of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot is Asara Mamarot keneged Malchiot, Asara Makot keneged Zichronot, and Asara Dibrot keneged the Shofarot. And by that, he shows a structure to the Shmoneh Esrei, tries to give a deeper explanation of the Shmoneh Esrei. Again, there's a lot to say about this. I'm just trying to give you some framework to what's said about these items. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri Omer, Imamar Shalosh, Shalosh Mikulan Yatsa, Yibailuhu, Heichot Toni. What does he mean? Shlosh min haTorah, shlosh min haNevi'im, shlosh min haKetuvim. He means three of each. Da'avu teisha. So he says nine instead of 10. That's what he's arguing about. And the difference between them is the one extra. Does it mean one from each? That's a total of three. And obviously then there's a big difference between the opinions. Ta'ashma d'tanya, ein pochatim ma'asara ma'achiyot, ma'asara zichronot, ma'asara shofarot. But Bright that says you say no less than 10 ma'achiyot, zichronot, and shofarot. V'imamar sheva mikulan yatsa. He says seven from them, then he's yotze. Keneged shiv'a rikiim. Keneged these 7 rikiim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri amar apachot lo yivchot mi'sheva. If you're gonna say the least, don't go below 7. V'imamar shalosh mikulan yatsa. You say 3, then it's yatsa. What is clear is he's not saying 7. When he says 7 here, he's not saying 7 Torah, 7 Nevi'im, and 7 Ketuvim. He's clearly saying 7 total. So that means that the Shalosh he's saying is also a total amount, not 3 of each. And that's what the basic is. Keneged Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Keneged, why do we have 3 as the minimum? Keneged Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Ramila, Keneged Kohanim, Levi'im, V'Yisraelim. So that there are structures of 3 or the basic structure of Klal Yisrael, the basic structure of Tanakh. And therefore, we use that as the basic number that we'd use is 3, even though the optimal number is 10. Rafuna Mashmua Alocha ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Alocha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that Mi'ikar Adin, you could say 3, you don't have to say 10. Right, that's what it sounds like, and that's the way we paskin, that B'di'avad, you can do 3, But the Mikara Din, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri agrees with this, you should do no less than 7, and you should optimally do 10. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri agrees with that. Just that the halacha is like him. If you only do 3, you're yotze. That's enough. I mean, it's efficient to do 3. You don't, that's not what we ask you to do. If you have the opportunity to do more, we ask you to do more. But if you only did 3, you're fine. You're yotze. Right. Next Mishnah. Where are the 10? Ein mazkirin. We do not mention malchut, zichronot, v'shofarot, shofaranut. We don't mention negative shofarot, zichronot, and malchuyot. Matchil b'torah. You begin with the Torah, umeshlim b'navi, and you end off with the Navi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, imishlim b'torah yatsa. Over here, it's a little different. Rabbi Yossi says, if you finish off the Torah yatsa, which sounds like bidyeh, but if you finish off the Torah, it's okay. Tosafot asks here, and it's clearly a question, the way that we structure it in our Shmoneh Esrei, and this is what the Mishnah implies, is that you say psukim from the Torah, psukim from the ketuvim, and then psukim from the nevi'im, which would be out of order. You normally would say Torah, nevi'im, and then ketuvim. So Tosvot mentions over here that maybe it's a possibility of some of the ketuvim being chronologically before the nevi'im. And so therefore we're following that chronological order. Whereas some of the other Rishonim suggest Malim Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridin. So Malim Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridin, so we want to go from ketuvim to nevi'im. Well then why do you start out with Torah? Because we're going to close with Torah. So you have to open and close with the same thing. Plus it's only right that you say Torah first. So Torah should go first. But then if you have to order out nevi'im, ketuvim, we do ketuvim and then nevi'im. There might be other reasons to change the order because of the nature of the psukim that are found in the ketuvim and the nevi'im. And that, again, there's a lot to say about this, but the order of the psukim that are chosen also thematically tell us there's a progression, I think, through Malchiyot, Zuchonot, and Shofarot, that the 3 psukim that we pick from the Torah, and then the 3 from ketuvim, and then 3 to nevi'im are show a progression in the theme that is there, and therefore the order is also important because of that progression in the theme. Now the Gemara says, Malchiyot kigon. What does it mean that a Malchiyot that are negative? So he says, okay, I'll give you a quote like that from Yechezkel. Chai ani neum Hashem elukim, im lo biyad chazaka ubzra nutiya ubechama shvucha im lo chaleichem. So Hashem says, look, I'm going to come and rule over you whether you like it or not, with the anger and with the tremendous outstretched hand. So that's negative, because it's the Malchut Hashem, but it's not the type of Malchut Hashem that you want. There's echema, there's anger and af. You know what Rav Nachman says? You know what? Let God get angry for the Ferkinon and then redeem us. I mean, if that's what it takes to get there, let Hashem have the anger and let us get there already. So that at least we have the Geula. So Kevin b'deritcha amur, since it was said out of anger, itkure ritcha b'reish shata lo madkirin. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't mention any anger. It is inauspicious to mention anger on Rosh Hashanah. This is another theme of Rosh Hashanah that comes up a lot, which is the idea of omens, the idea of practices that we do, that we should have a good year. And one of these things is that we don't mention anything to do with anger, because we don't want that to influence the year or have a negative influence on the year. Okay, zikaron or zichron kigon, vayizkor ki basar hema, that's a pasuk in Tehillim describing B'nai Yisrael sojourn in the Midbar, and that they gave Hashem a lot of trouble in the Midbar, and the difficulties. We read in last week's parsha, we're going to read in the next 2 parshiot in the Midbar. And over there, God finally remembers that they're just human beings, and that they couldn't make it, they couldn't do it. But here, that's again, that's a type of zikaron, that's a negative zikaron. Shofar, as we go, tiku shofar b'giva. Giva over here refers to Givat Binyamin, it's referring to the Shvatim, it's referring to what Hashem thinks of them. To go shofar b'giva means that bad is coming to you because of the way that you're behaving. So again, these are negative shofarot, zichronot, and malchiyot. Aval, im bal omar machut zikaron v'shofar shel puranut shel ovdei kochavim omer. But you're allowed to say the psukim that relate to negative aspects for the other nations if it's not for Klai Yisrael. Machot kugon, Hashem malach yirguzu amim. Right, Hashem should rule yirguzu amim, and that his anger should be on the other nations. Ukigon, Hashem Melech Olam Va'ed Abdu Goyim Eretzo, that Hashem should rule forever and wipe out the nations from his land. Zikron Kigon Zichor Hashem Livnei Edom, that's from Al Narod Bavel, and to uproot and get rid of Edom. Shofar Kigon Vashem Elokim B'Shofar Yitaka Alach B'Sarot Teman, he's going through and he's going to wipe out all the other nations. Uchtiv, Hashem Tzvakot, Yagin Aleim, and Hashem will protect us. By the way, this is psukim that we actually use in our Shmoneh Esrei. We'll get to that afterwards. I'll show you what we do. Ein mazkirim zikaron shel yachid afilu tova. When we mention zichronot, we only mention that of the tzibor, not of an individual, even if it's for good. Kagon, zechreni Hashem b'irtzon amecha. Remember me, Hashem, amongst your nation. Or kagon zechro li elokai letova b'nechemia. When he lists out all the things that he's tried to do for Hashem's honor, says, remember me for good. Those types of zikaron we don't mention because they are zikaron of the individual, not of the tzibur. Pikdonot, harihen kezikronot. The word pikadon or gold is similar to a zikaron. We already saw that earlier in the Masechta with the fact that nifkida Sarah, that Sarah was conceived on Rosh Hashanah, nifkida chana on Rosh Hashanah. They da pikadon and zikaron come together. That we already said, Kagon, Hashem Pakaret Sarah. Ukagon, Pakod Pakaret Diyatchem. Now, obviously, Hashem Pakaret Sarah is an individual. So then, how can you use an individual if, we just said before, no zikaron of the individual? Here you're doing a pikadon of the individual. So, Gemara will answer that in a second. And then we have Pakod Pakaret Diyatchem, which is that Hashem says to Moshe that I'm coming to redeem you. That's the phrase that Yosef tells the people that Hashem will eventually take you out of here. And that's what Hashem mentions to Moshe, what he should tell the people. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, inan kezichronot. Rabbi Yehuda over here and Rabbi Yossi are going to argue throughout whether the nature of the psukim that you're allowed to use. So Rabbi Yehuda says that piktanot do not count as zichronot, and that's the way that we paskin. We don't use any piktanot in our zichronot. Although Rabbi Yossi, he nami the piktanot are in kezichronot. Okay, let's say the piktanot are the same as zichronot. Hashem pakaret Sarah, pikadon di yachidu. That's a pikadon of yachid. And you said before that zikaron di yachid doesn't work. Came into atu rabim mina, to rabim damyo. Since the multitudes came from her, she's the mother of the nation, it's the equivalent of if she is the tzibur as a whole. We actually do something similar like that because in the beginning of zikronot, in our introduction to zikronot, we mentioned Noach and the zikaron of Noach, the zikaron of Noach, and there, right afterwards, we explain because the whole world comes from Noach. So Noah has that same standing like Sarah. So Usharim Rashichem, Vinasu Pitre Olam, Vyovo Melech HaKavod, Mize Melech HaKavod, Hashem Izuz Vigibor, Hashem Gibor Melchama, So Usharim Rashichem, Vizu Pitre Olam, Vyovo Melech HaKavod, Mihuze Melech HaKavod, Shem Tzvalkot, Hu Melech HaKavod, Sela. Within these two psukim, the word Melech is mentioned 5 times. So the question is, how many times, if you quote these psukim, how many does this count for you? So, Rishona, Shtayim. The first pasuk has the word Melech in it twice, so it counts for 2. Shniyah, the second pasuk has it Shalosh, Divi Rabbi Yossi, it counts for 3. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rishona, Achat. The first pasuk only counts for 1, and Shniyah, Shtayim, the second one 2. Why? Because, Mizeh, Melech, it doesn't count as Melech. When we say, who is the king, that king doesn't count as Malchiyot. So in the questioning part of it, Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't count as Melech. Interesting is our practice. We quote these psukim, we quote these ketuvim with regards to Malchiot, but we quote both psukim, which is also very interesting. We do not quote one pasuk, we quote both psukim, and we only count it as one Melech. So we do none of these. We bring both psukim down, and we only count it as one in our Shemoneh Esrei, which has to be answered why we do that. That's a good question. Zamru Elukim Zameiru, Zamru Malkenu Zameiru, Ki Melech Chol Haaretz Elukim. This is from Perek Mem Zayin. This is the Tehillim that we say before we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara wants to know over here, how many is there? So Shtayim, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that Malkeinu and Melech both count, and therefore there are 2 Malchiot in there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achat, there's only 1 in there. Vishavin, and everybody agrees, Malach, Elukim Agoyim, Elukim Yeshava, Kisei Kodesho, Shehi Achat, that's only 1. Even though it mentions Yeshava Kisei Kodesho, we don't look at Yeshava Kisei Kodesho as if Melech. It's still part of the first part of the Pasuk. There's only 1 Malchut that is counted over here. Zichron Sheyesh Bo Trua. Zichron that has Trua in it. Kegon. Shabbaton Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh. Umraim Zichronot. You can choose to say it with Zichronot. For Umrai Im Shofarot. Or you can say it together with Shofarot. It qualifies for both. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Ino Amra Elaim Zichronot Bilvad. Only counts for Zichronot because the word Trua doesn't count for Shofarot. For Shofarot, you need the word Shofar, not Trua. Malchut Sheyeshimo Trua. What about Malchut that has Trua with it? Kagon. Hashem Elokav Yimo Utrat Melech Bo. Hashem is with them and Trat Melech Bo. Just mentioned in Parshat Balak with regards to Bilam. Umraim Malchiot. You can say that with Malchiot. Umraim Shofarot. You can say with Malchiot or with Shofarot. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. You can only say it by Malchiot, that's it, which is actually our practice. We quote this pasuk in Malchiot, we'll see in a second, because there aren't enough Malchiot without it. The question of whether this is mentioned by shofarot actually has to do with the machloket in the girsa of the psukim, which I'll discuss in a minute. Trash any maklo klum. If you just have the word trua without anything else, kagon, yom trua yelachem. Omraim shofarot, debre Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, yom trua qualifies as shofar. Yudomer in omra kolikar. He says you can't mention it at all because he requires shofar and not trua. And that might have to do with the nature of shofarot. Thematically, what is shofarot about? Trua is a broken sound. Trua is an alarming sound. Whereas shofar and the shofarot sounds that maybe we're looking for in shofar are different. We're looking for whole sounds. We're looking for redemptive sounds. And therefore, trua is wrong thematically inside of shofarot. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda may not allow us to have it inside of shofarot and not use the word trua there. Matchil b'torah u'mashlim b'navi. You begin with Torah and you end with the Navi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im ishlim Torah yatsa. Im ishlim diavad in lechatchila lo. Im ishlim makes it sound like b'diavad you end with the Torah, but the lechatchila you don't. V'atanya, don't we have a brighter Rabbi Yossi Omer? Hamashlim b'torah harizem mishubach. The one who ends with the Torah, that's the right way to do it. Ema mashlim. So say mashlim, that you should do it. Lechatchila you should do it, and you really, this is the way to do it. V'ayim ishlim k'tani. Doesn't it say, if he did do it, then it's okay, now you should do it? Diavid in lechatchila lo, hachi gamar. Matchil b'torah, u'mashlim b'navi. You begin with the Torah, you end with the Navi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mashlim b'torah. You end with the Torah. V'im hishlim b'navi yatsa. If you ended up with the Navi, then it's okay, that's b'diavad. So they really amend the Mishnah to read very differently now that the hishlim is not referencing Torah anymore, it's referencing the Navi. And this is our practice, based on what the Gemara just laid out here. We're just standing on Miyachi, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Fatikin, Ayu Mashlim Ota B'Torah. The ones who were Mitaktek Ala Mitzvot used to end off with the Torah. So that's what we do. We end off with a Pasuk from the Torah. So the Gemara says, Bishlam on Zichronot V'Shofarot Ikatuva. When it comes to Zichronot and Shofarot, there are many examples of them. Ela Malchiot Tzlat Hu Dehavion. There are only three Malchiot in the whole Torah where the word Melech is used. One is Hashem Elokav Imo Utrat Melech Bo, which we just mentioned before, from the Bilam's Brachot. Now we have Vayhi Bishuan Melech Itasev Rosh Hayam Yachad Shivtei Yisrael from Zot HaBracha. And then you have Hashem Imloch Leolam Vaed from Az Yashir. That's the only time that we talk about Malchut HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah. Va'anan Be'inan Eser Veleka. And we need 10 and we don't have it. Now in terms of Tuvim and Nevi'im, we don't have any problem finding them. The problem is that we need 4 from the Torah, 3 to open with from the Torah, and 1 to close with. We don't have anything to close with. So Amar Rav Huna, Tashma, this is our practice, which he quotes over here, that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Malchut, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Shema Yisrael counts as Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Malchut. It doesn't count as Malchut. Here we have the Paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and we do say Shema Yisrael as our final Ubetorat Chaka Tuv Leimor Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that's how we close Malchiot. We close it with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is also important because that gives some sort of shape to the form of the Malchiot or the theme of Malchiot and its connection to the Aleinu that begins it. V'yadata Yom V'ashavot Elavavecha Ki Hashem Hulokim Ein Od. Malchut, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, even though it doesn't mention the word Malchut in it, Rabbi Yossi, it says it implies Malchut HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Einod, there's no one like him. Yehuda Omer, Einod Malchut, doesn't count, and that's why we pass him, we don't bring it as a Pasuk. Ta'arit L'adat Ki Hashem Elokim Einod Milvado. So also over here, you have another implication that Hashem is the only one, even though it doesn't mention Malchut directly. Malchut, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says that counts as Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einod Malchut, it doesn't count as Malchut. And that's our practice again, we do not use this Pasuk with regards to the psukim. So anyway, in our choice of psukim, we bring down, based on what the Gemara says here, we bring down the 3 malchiot psukim that are mentioned here. We close with that from the Torah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. In between, we quote Nevi'im and Ketuvim. I told you already, one of the interesting things is that we mention in malchiot, there from the Ketuvim, we quote the entire Perek Tehillim almost, that those 2 psukim from Tusharim Rashechem, we quote the entirety of that, and we only count it as 1 Malchut, even though the Gemara according to Rabbi Yehuda counts it as 3, we only count it as 1, and we bring 2 other psukim, Hashem Melucham Hashem Bagoyim, and Hashem Melach Ke'ud Levesh, we bring as the 2, and then we bring these psukim. So we have many more words of Malchiot than according to this, and I have to explain why. That's one question. As far as Zichronot, I spoke already about the fact that we bring Ben Noach in the beginning, even though he is an individual. And by Shofarot, we bring down only things that are associated with Shofar. The one interesting thing that we do, which is very difficult, is the closing pasuk that we use for shofarot. The closing pasuk we use from shofarot is, we quote from Parshat Balotcha. We quote the psukim by the chatzotzrot and not by the shofar to bring the closing pasuk of shofar by shofarot, which is what the Gemara says. No, you need shofar. You don't bring chatzotzrot. The Gemara clearly distinguishes between them. Therefore, there are those. There was a practice, and Rav Soloveitchik was very makbid on this, that we close the pasuk of Torah Tzkatuv Leimor. Then we say a final pasuk. Lohi bit avin beYakov, v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael, Hashem Elokav imo, utruat melech bo, which the Gemara here quotes as being both allowed to be used by shofar as well as by malchiyot, according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda said no, but at least here you have a pasuk that mentions shofar or trua that is associated, not chatzotzrot, but so you certainly shouldn't be the one that we're mentioning. You can add in that extra Torah Tzchak Ketuv Leimor to add that in, and then you'll say both. You have the one from the Torah and you have chatzotzrot, and either way then you'll say, we'll see that it's not a problem to add, necessarily. The Rosh says you can add psukim, just can't detract from the psukim. If you add an extra pasuk, that works well. And I'll send out here, you can see the layouts of the Shmoneh Esrei, but there are many things that repeat themselves, and many questions that have to be answered. That we have similar themes in Machiot and Shofarot, which we have to answer why. Kedushat Hayom together with Machiot, and the fact that Aleinu L'Shabeach is the transition from Kedushat Hayom to Malchiyot, you have to answer that why that is the transition, or what is it about Kedushat Hayom that is connected to Malchiyot. You have to explain why we bring the Psukim of Susharim Rashechem and quote the entire thing. In Shofarot, we also quote the entire Hallelujah, 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 Kel B'Kadsho, and we quote the whole Hallelujah again, where we only need Hallelujah but take a Shofar, that's all we're looking for, and we quote the whole thing. It might be because that's the source for the 10 Psukim, but still, we quote the entire Perek Tehillim. Another strange phenomenon here. The Rosh says, because you're allowed to add on, no problem. Others say, because it's the source for the 10 Sukkim. It's still a good question. We have to really answer why you bring the entire Perek Tehillim and not just the Pasuk we're looking for, which is Alu B'teika Shofar. And that's as far as the layout of the Shmoneh Esrei. There's a lot to look into, a lot to think about when we daven on Rosh Hashanah. And the next Mishnah. Over lifnei ha-teiva b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah, ha-sheni matkiya. One who goes before the Teva on Yom Tov Shavuot Shoshana, Sheni, meaning Musaf, Matkiya, we blow the shofar in Musaf, and not in Shacharit. Now, Sheni Matkiya, some of the Rishonim want to midayek here, that Sheni Matkiya means that someone besides the Shatz should blow the shofar, because we don't want him to get confused, and it's proper for there to be a Baal Tukiya separate from the Shatz. Ubishat Halel, Arishon Makriya et Halel. That at the time of Hallel, then the first one, meaning that Hallel is said together with Shacharit and not with Musaf. So Gemara says, Maishna Sheni Matkiya, why is it that we only blow shofar in the Musaf? Shum Derov Ha Madrad Melech, because we want more people to be in shul. And by the time Musaf comes around, then more people are in shul than in Shacharit. It's a centuries-old problem that there are more people in shul by Musaf than there are by Shacharit. And then Barov Ha Madrad Melech, therefore we blow the shofar then. Yochi, if that's the case, halal nami name of Bisheni. And we should also say halal in the Musaf, Mishum Derov Am Adrad Melech. Elamaishna Leo Debirishon. So why do we say halal in Shacharit? Mishum de Zrizim Akdim in the Mitzvot. Because we have a competing principle, which is Zrizim Akdim in the Mitzvot. We try to do things as early as possible. So if that's the case, Tikya Nami Nami Birishon. We should also blow the shofar in Shacharit. Mishum Zrizim Akdim in the Mitzvot. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ain't hochanami, but b'shirat gzeirat ha-malchut shanu. In the time of the gzeirat ha-malchut, they changed it. The gzeirat ha-malchut, according to some, means that there was a gzeirat for the malchut not to blow shofar. So they waited till later in the day to blow the shofar when the guards or the people who were checking left already. Tosafot says he doesn't think that's the right explanation, but rather that what happened was when they blew the shofar in Shacharit, it looked like they were leading a rebellion. I spoke about this in the past, that the blowing of the shofar was a weapon of war. And if you blow the shofar, it made it sound like they were going to rebel against the authorities. So they blew it in Shacharit, it looked like they were beginning a rebellion. So what they did was they waited until Musaf. So when they daven and they said Hallel and they daven for a long time, they realized that it's a part of Nimusehem. It's a part of their culture, their religious practices, and the blowing of the shofar is not about rebellion. And so therefore they waited until Musaf to blow the shofar. So that's the way Tosafot explains Gzeirat HaMalchut. Tosafot over here says, why is it still in Musaf? We don't have Gzeirat HaMalchut anymore. So why is it in Musaf? So Tosafot says, once they changed it, we left it in place because maybe in the future it'll be a problem. It'll go back, so we leave it intact. We don't change it back. Although it's interesting, there's a Rashi in Shabbat, Chavdalet Amun Aleph, where the Gemara discusses that they used to do Maftir of Torah by Mincha on Shabbat. That was because of Gzerat HaMalchut. And Rashi comes over there, once Gzerat HaMalchut went away, then we stopped the practice, and we don't have Av Torah by Mincha on Shabbat. So we see different types of reactions to Gzerat HaMalchut. Sometimes we keep the practice going. Other times we drop the practice after the Gzerat HaMalchut goes away. So we have to clarify where that's true and where that's not true. But here the Gemara answers up, Gzerat HaMalchut, Shanu. And therefore, originally we thought if we had competition between Rov HaMadrid Melech and Zrizim Maktim in the Mitzvot, we would give precedence to Rov HaMadrid Melech. The Gemara rejects that and says, no, Zrizim Maktim in the Mitzvot is more important, and the only reason we postpone the Shofar is because of Gzerat HaMalchut. Midukamar B'Shat Halel, the fact that it says at the time of Halel on Rosh Hashanah, B'Klal the Rosh Hashanah Lekha Halel. From there you see that on Rosh Hashanah we don't say Halel. My time. Why don't we say Halel on Rosh Hashanah? It's a Yom Tov. Why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Or why don't the Jews say it? Is it possible that the king is sitting on his throne of judgment? The book of life and the book of death are open in front of him. And they should be rejoicing and singing and song. It's an inappropriate response or mood for the day. So as the Rambam in his famous formulation says, that the days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim are days of Simcha, but not days of Simcha Yitera. Not too much. They're days of joy because we know that Hashem will forgive us, please God. And that we come before Hashem with the Avtacha, that if we come as a Tzibor, that Hashem will take care of us. And therefore, in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we wear white, and we come with confidence, and they are a Yom Tov, and do have an aspect of Simcha associated with them. Just not Simcha Yitera. Simcha Yitera that's associated with the other Regalim brings us to say Hallel and Shira, which is the proper mood and the proper theme of the day. Whereas for Shana Yom Kippur, it's a little more of a tempered Simcha, and therefore Hallel would be inappropriate on such days, as we call them, the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe. Okay, we'll stop over here.